This is the Human Rights Report from the University of Arizona's chapter of Amnesty International. I'm Jesse Bangu. If I told you that 880 million people in the world are illiterate, you might not be surprised. But what if I told you that two-thirds of those people are women? Despite recent advances, on March 8, 2002, International Women's Day, women still face systematic discrimination in many areas of society. Literacy is one problem, but it is relatively minor compared to domestic violence or even torture based solely on gender. We will talk about recent issues such as these after looking at some recent human rights news first. Over the past 2 years, Egypt has detained an increasing number of people under Article 98F of their penal code, which makes some religious acts illegal. More than 60 people have been detained under this article, including at least 12 alleged members of the Baha'i faith. Egypt is party to international and regional treaties which provide for religious freedom, including the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. These treaties should guarantee all people their right to practice their religion as they choose, but many still remain imprisoned in Egypt. Over in Uzbekistan, a 24-year-old male convicted of murder has had his sentence commuted to 10 years in prison. Vazgen Arutyunyants was severely beaten after his arrest and has always maintained his innocence. Amnesty International believes his confession was extracted under the beatings and other torture, and welcomes news of the commutation of his sentence. Meanwhile, back in the United States, the State Department has released its annual country report on human rights. Independent observers confirm that the report is generally accurate, but is biased towards nations allied with the United States and biased against U.S. opponents. For example, the report claims that the number of torture cases in Turkey is declining. This contradicts information from the Turkish Human Rights Foundation, which found that the use of torture actually increased last year. The foundation further notes that 2001 was the most repressive year thus far in Turkey. The report on Pakistan omits certain critical information regarding human rights abuses committed by their government, including the continued practice of detaining relatives of suspects who are not guilty of any crime themselves. In Israel, the report justifies state-sponsored human rights violation as a consequence of their war on terrorism, focusing instead on Palestinian attacks. Although the conflict has been ongoing, this new language is a marked departure from last year's report. That's the Human Rights News. I'm Jesse Bangu. Women worldwide have won many victories in the fight for their rights. It is hard to imagine that only 100 years ago, women did not run for public office or even vote in many parts of the world. Since then, many countries have passed laws ensuring equal rights for women. Women have truly achieved a high level of social and economic independence. But there are still severe problems, most notably with domestic violence, which is still the most serious human rights violation against women. Often, domestic violence goes unreported. Even when it is brought to the attention of the authorities, they commonly fail to protect the victim and punish the perpetrator. Even worse, many women have faced sexual violence at the hands of the authorities, whose role it was to protect them. For example, in March 1999, two Kurdish women in Turkey were arrested, then beaten, raped, and given virginity tests while in custody. After being tortured, they were forced to give false confessions to police in Turkey. Four different doctors certified that the two women were tortured, but the public prosecutor refused to consider their testimony. They are currently in prison awaiting the decision of the appeal court. In Malaysia, the longest-running trial in the country's history includes women's rights. Human rights defender Irene Fernandez has been on trial since 1996 for reporting abuses of Malaysia's migrant and immigrant community. Fernandez, who is head of the non-governmental organization Tanganita, documented cases of sexual abuse of women and denial of food, water, and medical care in general at the immigrant detention camps. Amnesty International has long-standing concerns over these camps due to frequent fatal beatings and torture, and believes that Irene Fernandez has been targeted for her non-violent human rights activities. She is currently free on bail, but observers expect the trial to continue for at least 2 more years. She now faces financial hardships because of the lengthy proceedings and has already appeared in court over 150 times. We know that women's rights are in jeopardy everywhere, but in India the problem is extreme. Women already face the usual gender discrimination, but low-caste women face greater danger. Despite widespread violence against women, many incidents are not reported. The high-caste community pressures low-caste victims to keep quiet after a crime, or even threaten further abuse. If the victim persists, the police routinely withhold evidence, ignore complaints, or actively cover up violent crimes against women. In the worst cases, authorities themselves continue the abuse by actively participating in further violence. Women's rights advocates have helped highlight problems that women face in India, even though they are typically punished for their efforts, becoming victims of human rights abuses themselves. As this is India's, quote, year of empowerment of women, unquote, Amnesty International calls on the Indian government to implement policies protecting women and turn its empty promises of the past into real action. Defending women's rights is a big subject, so you might wonder how Amnesty International approaches it. We start by directly contacting governments who discriminate against women or allow private parties to do so without punishment. We are also very concerned about violence against women and publicize cases of gender-based violence, including those based on sexual orientation. If their own governments fail to protect them, we also try to obtain political asylum for women fleeing persecution. Ironically, women's rights advocates can become victims of human rights abuses themselves. As part of this program, we also protect women's rights defenders against imprisonment, torture, unfair trials, disappearances, political killings, and the death penalty. By illuminating these problems, we hold the governments accountable for solving them and punishing those responsible. Does this approach work? Gradually, governments have responded to this pressure by changing laws and punishing those who perform violence or discriminate against women, even though the change can be slow. Ultimately, we would like to prevent future acts through better legislation. But is it enough? In the country of Botswana, High Court Judge Unity Dow said, quote, "It is not enough just to change the law. There has to be an interplay of all strategies," unquote. Judge Dow is truly a success story of women's rights. Not only is she Botswana's first female High Court judge, but her career is also a tribute to women's rights. She has created laws supporting equality for women in such areas as domestic violence, child support, and the property rights of married women. Judge Dow advocates a larger change to address women's rights and toured the United States in 1999 promoting the United Nations Women's Human Rights Treaty. She emphasized how important this treaty could be in the pursuit of equality of women worldwide. She has first-hand experience, having successfully used the treaty herself to change Botswana's biased citizenship laws. This treaty is also known under a longer name, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, frequently abbreviated to CEDAW, pronounced CEDAW. We see this convention as the most basic and important human rights treaty protecting women and girls in every country against discrimination and violence. Currently, Amnesty International members across the United States are trying to convince policymakers in Washington to defend women's rights by ratifying CEDAW. 169 countries have already ratified the Women's Convention, but the United States is the most prominent holdout as the only industrialized nation remaining that has not adopted it. President Jimmy Carter signed the convention in 1980, but the Senate has yet to ratify it. Currently, 16 states, 38 cities, and 16 counties have individually adopted the convention, but only 54 U.S. senators support it. A total of 67 is required to pass the associated resolution. The United States has already ratified other human rights treaties, so why do we oppose women's rights? U.S. Senator Jesse Helms outlined the opposition's arguments, but they seem to be based on misconception instead of facts. First, Helms claims that the treaty is only a tactical ploy to force a radical agenda onto the American public, and there is no real support for it. His proof is that it has only recently been placed before the Senate, even though it was signed in 1980. But the reality is almost the opposite. Women's rights activists have actively promoted the convention, but Presidents Reagan and Bush buried it in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to keep it from a vote. Continuing, Helms warns us about the anti-family stance of CEDAW, claiming that weakening the parents' role will force more children into daycare. Again, the reality seems to be quite the opposite, as the text of the convention explicitly emphasizes the parent's role in the best interests of the child. Helms goes on, fearing that ratifying CEDAW would require legalizing abortion, prostitution, and full involvement of women in the military. None of these subjects are actually addressed in the text of the treaty, so it is hard to address his fears, except that several countries that criminalize abortion have already ratified the treaty. After studying it, even the U.S. State Department has concluded that CEDAW is neutral on the topic of abortion. Finally, he makes vague but dire claims that our culture would be threatened, Mother's Day would be abolished, and the treaty itself is unenforceable, but does not support these statements with any actual text, only tangentially related statements made at CEDAW committee meetings. Regarding unenforceability, we do know that CEDAW has been used to change discriminatory laws in Nepal, Japan, Tanzania, and as we have seen, Botswana. But still, convincing the Senate to pass the convention is a large job. Fortunately, other groups are also actively working on it, such as the National Organization for Women and the USA section of the United Nations Association. Even more organizations support the convention: the American Bar Association, the American Federation of Teachers, and the National Education Association. For more information on Amnesty's work on women's rights, go to the website at www.amnestyusa.org/women. To find out more about Amnesty International, visit us at the University of Arizona campus in Tucson, Arizona, every Monday night, except university holidays, at 5:30 p.m. in Modern Languages Building, room 411. Amnesty International is an independent human rights organization working for fair trials, ending torture, abolishing the death penalty, and freeing those who have been in prison solely for their beliefs. This has been the Human Rights Report, produced by the University of Arizona's Amnesty International chapter. I'm Jesse Bangu. This is Amnesty International.